Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight. A reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, ordained minister, and good all-around girl, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Good afternoon, I guess, or evening, depending on where you are. Welcome to Nightlight. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join in with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and hopefully a little wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the seekers, and you answer that call from all walks of life and countless aspects of the spiritual realms. Excuse me. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities, from all walks of life. And yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles, labels, names if you will. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers, light bodies, light workers, light bearers, spiritual empaths, shaman, and the list, well, it goes on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our own very individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and the shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution, so sit back. Take your shoes off, take a break, share your lights with us, and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Deb today, who is in the queue and in the host, she's the co-host, and James Luce. We welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our own personal lights. We're going to be doing readings shortly, so if you would like to call in for one, the number is 347-857-2139. Don't wait too long. It does fill up, especially when Mr. James Luce is in the house. Deb is in the chat room, so if you have any questions, she's Barbara DeLong, host. And if you want an answer, she's the one you send the IM to. I don't multitask, I don't look, and so I don't see you. Ken Quiet Hawk can be found at nativestorytellers.com if you want to learn more about that amazing voice. I'm at barbaradelong.com, And James, I'm sure, will share with us how you can get a hold of him if you would like to after the show. But before we get involved with readings, I want to give you a little bit of information that I have put up on my website. With so many shows on Blog Talk Radio, it's hard to decide where you want to share your time, invest your energy, and open your minds. And on my website, underneath the Nightlight link on the appearances, there's a section called I Highly Endorse. It's a series of Blog Talk Radio shows that I frequent. I am frequently guests on, where I feel that there is an amazing amount of wonderful spiritual energy, plus ethical, they're ethical. I'm sure there's a word there. I just can't roll my tongue around it right now. These are shows that I endorse, that I frequent. I am absolutely incredibly impressed by the quality of the material they put out there. And I really feel strongly that if you really want to, you know places where you can go so you don't have to try on 10 or 20 or different shows, those are the ones that I endorse. I haven't listened to every Blog Talk Radio show out there, so I really can't, it isn't that they are the only good ones out there. They're the only ones that I have found so far. And, so if you want to kind of take a step back, and if you like what we present here on Nightlight, then check out the ones that I endorse, because I would imagine that you will absolutely also find these other shows, I think, inspiring and renewing and inspirational. And I promise you that every single person that reads on those shows, excuse me, has a very positive outlook on life, and I think that's kind of what we're looking for here. We're looking for hope, and we're looking for promise, and we're looking for inspiration and ways to change our lives, and all of these hosts do that, and then some. So I am honored and thrilled that James Luce's run in the theater has kind of slowed down so that he can be here with us today and share with us his time, his energy, and his insight, and his amazing ability to tune into people. He has been spending the summertime, and summer's over, yay, doing theater, teaching and learning and performing, and so he is back sharing his wonderful insight with us. And I don't hope that his career doesn't go off, but I hope it waits a while before it takes off again so that we can have the advantage of having him here with us on Nightlight. So, hi, James. I'm glad you're back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back. It's always an honor to do readings with you, and I'm excited to be here. And your website looks beautiful. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. It was a lot of work.
I know it was, and it's gorgeously designed. It's the color scheme, the colors, the perspective. It's beautiful, just gorgeous.
Well, thank you. I just, it was a lot of work, but actually it's finally where I want it to be, and I am so delighted with the young lady who lives right here in Connecticut that really, provided the skeleton to hang my work on. And she did a magnificent job, and I am just thrilled to pieces that it came out as nicely as it did. But I think one of the things that I like so much is that I'm able to actually put stuff up whenever I feel like it, instead of having to go through, someone else to put it up. So it means I learned a lot about, websites and stuff, probably more than I had really planned on doing, but a number of people have told me that maybe the whole struggle with the website bit was to make me understand that I had to learn how to do a lot of it myself. And now that a lot of the work is done, I'm really very grateful for it. I wasn't at first, but it seems to have worked out all right. But tell us a little about your summer, because it was spectacular.
Well, thank you. I had a marvelous time playing the role of Gremio, G-R-E-M-I-O, in Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew, a famous play, but an early play by Shakespeare. And in working on the play and in doing much research, I realized, of course, being Shakespeare, he took from several many extant plays, put a lot of snatches from existing plays about shrewish women being tamed into his play. But the character that I played was from the Italian Commedia dell'arte, and something that Shakespeare just cooked up on his own. So I was very thrilled to be doing it, and it was a wonderful company in Manhattan at the Baruch Performing Arts Center at Baruch College. It was the Thomas G. Waits Acting Studio and Baruch College and Baruch Performing Arts Center. And it was great fun. And the amazing thing, because we find in theater with many, many different acting companies, many directors, many casting directors, designers, unions, and stage managers, the amazing thing is I really put out to the universe, I truly always do visualizations, pictures, calling on guides to manifest. I was very blessed. Everyone in this production had generosity of spirit and equanimity. And this director truly wants to kill ego and wants everyone to work together and praises people and gets people to work together without selfishness and without agenda. And it was a breath of fresh air. It was like a drop of water in the desert working for this company. So I'm excited to say this Thursday I'm doing a reading of a new play. I'm in a new play that's just being read with these people. And I'm just hoping our relationship continues and continues. So that was a real gift from the universe.
Wow. Now, did you get up to Lilydale again this year?
Oh, I wish I did. That job in Buffalo fell through, the acting job, rather oddly and strangely. As you know, being a medium in the theater, we read energies differently, you and I, people like us, all the people listening, than just business. But that job fell through very oddly and very strangely. There was some dishonesty to it. But I'm getting along with the director. We get along. But because that fell apart, my plans for Lilydale did not happen the way I dreamed and wished they would. And Lilydale, closes, this week, next week, soon. And I'm heartbroken. I'm heartbroken that I couldn't get up there. I will next year. But
wow.
I'm sad. Yeah.
Maybe next year we can get together and do a road trip.
That'd be fun. I studied with a group in Fairfield, mediums in Fairfield, and two of them were at Lilydale. One lives there, and one was there for 2 weeks. So I'm going to a class every Tuesday morning in mediumship with techniques from, you probably know them, Barbara, from a lot of British mediums that were there.
Oh,
Lilydale,
yeah.
Had a lot of British mediums there about sending out the threads and contacting spirit specifically, and so I'm going to start that tomorrow morning. But what this wonderful medium did is she studied this at Lilydale, and now she's bringing it down to those of us in Fairfield, Connecticut, and passing on the technique and the process, which is beautiful.
Ah, wow. Yeah, I have worked with a lot of, I still do, I work with quite a few British mediums, James Booker and Andrew Dee, and of course Lizzie Star, and you know, I and Grant Collier as well.
Yeah.
So yeah,
yeah.
And there is the British mediums, much like a lot of I'm going to date both of us, us old school spiritualist mediums in this country. We trained under the same type of protocol, I guess.
And right.
So there is an old school way of doing mediumship and doing readings for that matter, and that's not to say that you know some of the newer mediums aren't good ones. It just means that there is a great respect for what mediumship is that comes from old school people. And and a lot of the British mediums are definitely old school.
They really are, absolutely.
So it's there is a greater depth of respect and courtesy in the readers who come from that particular venue. And again, I don't mean that it's just that group. I mean, there are certain, obviously, some people that are new to the field that did not train that way. And one of them who is, you know, an exceptionally delightful person and has brought a lot of joy into this field is Teresa Caputo. She did not train in that kind of a venue, and yet, I can say nothing bad about her. I think she's exceptional. It's not my form, it's not my way, but she does do a great deal for a lot of people, and a lot of the money that she earns goes to charity. So that, you know, this woman is not lining her pockets. You know, a lot of the house parties, a lot of the things that you know, you see on TV and things like that, a lot of the money that she collects goes to various different charities and organizations, so that she's not getting rich off this. She's really doing good work, and I think she's bringing a lot of, you know, good positive energy into how people look at mediums and mediumship. But you know, again, it's a matter of style, I guess, among other things. But I think some of the old school mediums just have a deeper, richer understanding of what is going on. There are some new kids on the block that are very, very young that certainly are mediums, but the art of being a medium has not been shared with them. And it's not that it's a big, deep, dark secret, anybody. It's not at all. But it's a matter of practice and style. And, you know, if you have that style, if you have that ability to do it with style, and how you actually give and receive messages as well, it makes a huge difference in the information that you can share. So,
absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, it's and Lily Dale is kind of like the heart of it all. Lily Dale is for those.
And also the Fellowship of the Spirit next door to Lily Dale is a great training center, because for years, you know, my expertise was past lives, and Lily Dale would not admit past lives. Lily Dale would not admit Reiki, but the Fellowship of the Spirit, FOTS, next door to Lily Dale, was a huge group of celebrated mediums that founded their own organization, because Spiritualist Church, yes, you well know, Barbara, better than I do, only admits certain things in its platform.
Mm-hmm.
That you can speak from the platform, that you can give in a reading. And Fellowship of the Spirit had the same energy as Lily Dale, but it was a bit more cosmopolitan, a bit more universal, a bit more coming in from higher levels of reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. It's right next to Lily Dale, and it's a wonderful healing center. And it's exciting to go to Lily Dale, get readings there, participate in the stump, participate in the healing temple, which is totally brilliant and extraordinary, and then go next door to Fellowship of the Spirit and have some Reiki and do some past life investigation. So it is becoming, on Lake Casadega there, a center of many different venues of pulling down high information.
Yeah, and you know, for those that don't know what Lily Dale is, it is a camp that was created and founded by the National Association of Spiritualist Churches, and it's a place where mediums can go and share and gather, and it is really and Casadega was not founded, I don't believe, by the National Association of Spiritualist Churches, but Casadega is another place where it's a whole little village of just psychics and mediums, and there aren't a lot of them around, so that if you are down south and you get a chance in Florida to go to Casadega and visit that one, I would highly encourage it. It's the energy, if nothing else, the energy is profound. And I want to hit on the energy for just a minute, James, because the energy that we are experiencing these days with the weather shifting and all sorts of weird stuff coming up here out of nowhere. Are you experiencing it? Are you noticing it? Because it has been profound around wherever I am.
Absolutely. I mean, I was given by guides to have a wonderful summer, and I did, as I explained when you asked me about Taming of the Shrew and Shakespeare. And then when the job in Buffalo didn't happen, a very close friend of mine asked me to direct a project for him, a play, a production. And so I was doing that while I was acting in Shakespeare and acting in other Shakespeare readings. I was doing that. And then, of course, I was giving many readings on the side. And this friend, I didn't realize, was an ex-alcoholic. And what happened was that in this situation, and this began, I want to say, through June, but especially throughout August, I was directing, and I've been a director for 40 years, and I have a master's degree in stage direction. Everything I did was disregarded, criticized, or taken apart. And very odd energy. Now, I do have to say, I always give thanks and love and gratitude to my guides. I got this dream before, when I was in the middle of the project, I got this dream, and I won't waste everybody's time about all the journey of the dream or the symbols of the dream, but I went to one of my great colleagues, a dream interpreter, and I said, what is this about? And she, as a great medium, explained, and I went, that's what this is. It's the directing project. Spirit was warning me about the directing project. So, yes, energy is very intense. It's very odd. And it's very bizarre. Like, it manifested to me someone you've known for 25 years, you think you know them one way, a whole different side of them came out.
Wow.
And when I would defend myself, as part of my spiritual lesson of saying, this is my experience, this is what I see, this is what I believe, so therefore in directing, and the interpretation might, maybe can go this way, I was really attacked or disregarded. And it was interesting because I think the high guides and angels were saying to me, I finally got what they were saying to me, but I was going, I'd rather keep this person as a friend. I don't need to be artistically involved with them because they're doing their own thing, and they're not interested in my interference. And as you know, what the high masters tell us, all we have in this incarnation is time and energy. How are we going to give it away?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I was going, I don't think I'm in the right place and opportunity. I don't want to spend the rest of my summer doing this. I just had magic doing Shakespeare, and then I've been giving a lot of readings, what am I doing in here? And sure enough, the playwright came to me from spirit, and then I checked it out with another one of my dear mediumship friends. The playwright came, and I got another dream, and the message was, this is a big lesson for you. You're at a very high level. This is a lesson about, can you be in your truth and believe everything that your soul is getting from the universe, from your past lives, from all your artistic training, from all your training in education, in artistry, in theater? Can you believe this? Can you stand in it and yet out in front of you be completely disregarded on earth and go through with it and still be fine about it? And not take anything personal. It's about don't take it personally. Don't get involved. Don't take it emotionally. I put my ideas out. I accept the ideas. I don't get emotionally involved. And as you know, that is difficult in the theater because the tools of the theater are creativity, imagination, and emotions. So I got the message from guides and masters, this is a graduate course I'm in, and I didn't even in dealing with very cantankerous people or people that just disregard you. So that's part of this, what do we want to say, fluctuating, bombastic, strange, kind of bipolar, explosionary energy that is that has been going around, I want to say possibly, I'm not sure, and definitely for me in the past 2 months. I mean, mm-hmm. and not just there in other places too, but that's been my direct experience with it, of course.
Yeah, no, I have found that in a way time is speeding up. In a way,
yes.
things are going back by so fast that it's you know, you blink and, oh, my gosh, where did that
yes.
time go? But,
yes.
but at the same time, spirit seems to be extraordinarily active. I am finding there is a greater intensity that spirit brings to a reading or a spirit circle or mediumship that it's not a sense of urgency, but it is a sense of intensity. And I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I know that something is shifting and changing the consciousness of everyone. And in that shift and change, sometimes the best of them comes out and sometimes the worst of them comes out.
what happened with me, yes.
And you know, I would say over the last 6 months, I've had a couple of places in my life where people have so totally shown their true face, and it was just not what I expected. And it was like, whoa, there's a lesson here. I don't like it, but there is a lesson here, so let's pull something positive out of it and move on. And that I think, is in many ways part of the message the universe is saying, that it's important to, you know, accept something at its face value and what it means to you in your life, and then get the lesson from it and a positive lesson, and then move on. Because you know, everybody is always in flux, people are always changing, and sometimes they change, you know, for the better, and you think, wow, have you changed and grown, and whoa, I'm glad I'm here. And of course the other side is, whoa, I don't want that in my life anymore, so I'm moving on. And
right.
you know, and not agonizing over it, though I probably have wallowed in stuff, you know, occasionally more than I should have. But the reality here is, learn something from it, take it from it, apply it to your life, and move on. You know, you don't want to hang
yep.
around trying to make somebody be different than they are. You just have to acknowledge that's who and what they are, and either move on or be very grateful they're in your life. So. And I'm very grateful that I have some exceptionally, fabulously wonderful people in my life. And before we get going with the readings, I want to reiterate that two things. I have endorsed a bunch of radio shows, and that is on my website under my appearances and then Nightlight. And there's a list of them with the direct links to those people's shows. So if you want to know what I think is spectacular, those shows are there, and the links to their shows are there as well. Secondly, second spiritual development circle begins in October, the first Thursday in October. And if anybody's interested in signing up for that or looking into that, again, you can check my website, and the information should be there. If not, email me, and I'll give you whatever information there is. And it's free. It does not cost you anything, and we'll do, I believe, 8 weeks this time, and then we'll take December off and start again in January. So,
is this on Blog Talk Radio? Is your circle on Blog Talk?
The circle is on Blog Talk.
Okay, great.
And the circle will be from 4 to 6 in the afternoon on Thursdays, and the material will be sent out to everybody before the circle so they can read it and get, you know, kind of get questions together or whatever. It will be done as a private radio show, so unless you're signed up, you won't get the address. And it will be released after we do the circle as, it'll be made public so anybody can listen to the information. But of course, if you get the information ahead and you have the opportunity to sit, you know, in the circle and take part in it, that's kind of exciting too. So, whatever floats your boat, try it on. It's a lot of fun. No experience necessary. As a matter of fact, I think I say in the write-up for it, leave your guides, your spirit guides, your guardian angels, and anybody that you are bringing through in spirit at the door. I want your brain and an open mind and an open heart. That's all I need, and we will and we'll go from there. Now, for those of you who are waiting in queue and those of you that are thinking about calling in, let me explain. We do readings here differently. We will, you know, open your mic. We will bring you on. We'll say hi. And then I will give you what I get, and James will give you what he gets. We don't take questions here. So if you're sitting in queue and you have a question specifically that you want to blurt out and ask, please don't sit any longer because we will not let you ask the question. It's my opinion and my opinion only that whatever is plaguing any of you at this moment in time has a deeper spiritual cause, and if you let us give you what Spirit's giving us, chances are you'll be able to address your issues differently and probably, you know, fix them yourself. There are lots of good people out there.
Can I add something to that? Could I add something to that that's the same?
Sure.
So many times when I'm trying to reach someone in spirit or I'm doing a circle such as you have allowed me to do with you, people are saying, I need to talk to Aunt Martha. I'm expecting them. I'm wanting them. I'm calling on them. And then the person that comes in for them is the kind, this is just an example, a hypothetical, the person that comes in for them is the kind neighbor from across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And which God and the high masters are saying, this guide is stronger and is able to help you with the issues, the questions, the needs you have help with. So the way the universe works is help is there, healing is there, love is there, but it is not, especially in this energy, as you were talking about, Barbara, it is not how we expect it to be on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming from a higher level, because I have so many clients that are going, I need to talk to this person in spirit. I don't want to talk to them. And I would say, how dare you not invite someone who has come in to help you? You know?
Right.
Don't ask them to go away, please. You know, maybe the entity you wish to talk to is working on important things for themselves. They still love you. They'll come in at a later time. So it's the same principle of the question will be answered in a different way because, as Barbara, you know better than I do, as we go to the higher levels of spirit, the higher sensibilities and perceptions of spirit, how they work is beyond how we can perceive. And yet, they have our highest and greatest good in mind and always at the forefront.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, it opens a door. When we do mediumship, we open a door. And if you say, oh, no, not him, that door easily could slam, and that would leave James and I sitting here kind of looking at each other saying, okay, so let's give them something else because they've just, you know, shut us down. And when you negate like that, you do shut the whole process down. You've slammed your energy field down. Can we still read it? Yeah, of course we can. But as far as mediums and bringing spirits through to you, probably not. You know, they don't get insulted, but they do realize that if you're going to be like that, that perhaps it's not time for you to get a message from spirit. So,
Correct. Yes.
So, that said, nobody hung up, by the way. So we've got Kathy here. Hi, Kathy. How are you doing today?
How are you?
Really, really well. we're just trying to get a message across here, and nobody hung up. So I guess everybody actually is going to is pretty okay for us to kind of glide ahead. So I'm going to give you what I get, and then I will give it over to James. I'm seeing a whole bunch of I guess the season for water views here because I'm seeing a pond here with lily pads all over it, and I feel that that's in many ways reflective of your soul, your spirit at this moment in time. There is great depth here. There is great wisdom here. There is great richness here because ponds have greater richness because the water doesn't flow as fast, and therefore great richness and abundance comes from the depths at all times. That's why people fish in streams and in ponds and stuff like that a lot. What you've got here is a deep well, an amazing source of richness and energy, insight and wisdom, gifts and talents that you have carried through time within you. And it feels as though we're right at a time frame here where it's time for more and more of them to be set loose, set free, and emerge and manifest within your reality. Are you going to go to bed one night and wake up a medium the next day or whatever? Not unless you already are. But there is a great a curiosity that flows within all of this richness that you have within you. And it feels as though you have been drawn time and time again to antiquity, to look at different aspects of history and sort of work with some of the talents and gifts that come from those time frames. I do believe you're fascinated with certain time frames, and I don't believe you understand that there's a reason for that. It's because you had great, intensive, insightful lifetimes in those time frames so that you are drawn to those time frames to sort of trigger something within you so that you can release it into this lifetime. I feel that there is a great sense of majesty within you, and I'm looking at a couple of, these are the kind of lifetimes people want. I'm seeing a couple of lifetimes where you actually were a princess or a queen or a king. And if I go into Ireland, I want to take you back probably 500 or 600 years, no, maybe more, maybe 800 years. Now, at that particular time frame, a king in Scotland didn't exactly live in richness. They mucked through the mud a lot too, but they had authority and they had power and they did conquest. They did pull other parts of the country into themselves. And in this particular lifetime, you were trying to reunite everyone so that there was a common cause, a common focus, a common people, because they all spoke the same language, they all had the same / religion, and you felt that you could help everyone if everyone worked together, that there could be greater abundance for everyone. It was a constant struggle throughout your lifetime. You were constantly trying to, you know, reintegrate little bands that went off on their own and then failed, and then you had to bring them back into the whole. You do that this lifetime in that you like everyone to get along. You don't like to have conflict. You don't like to have people not talking or, you know, and as a you try to keep the peace. You try to keep the peace everywhere you go. You're not always successful, but you weren't that lifetime either. And I do believe that the lesson here is that you're not always going to be successful. Sometimes people have to rebel and move away, and there is a certain, there's a place within you that you know that once they hit that level that you need to release them and let them go, that you can't make them be what you want them to be. And I feel that you're having that issue today in your life, at present time, that you can't control the destiny of other people, and you really try with the people you love, and sometimes it doesn't work the way you'd like it to, but you have to honor and let go. And I think that's the message from that lifetime. If I take you back about 1,200 years into France, here we got good castles, and that you were the daughter of a king, and I, you know, going back to that time frame, it was a time frame where people were married off in order to, you were a political pawn, is what I'm trying to say, and you were reluctant because all of the people that your father and his ministers wanted to marry you off to, you were 16 at the time, and the people they were wanting to marry you off to, you thought they were ancient, they were probably in their early 30s. You know, looking back on it, I have to chuckle slightly because that's not that old. But at the time, it was ancient. And you rebelled against at least three different potential collaborations. And with the fourth one, you were told that there was no question, you know, your permission was not being asked. This was something that was going to happen. It was that big a deal. And so you reluctantly did your due diligence and you went through the wedding and everything. And it was really kind of interesting because you found that, that the man that they had married you to, while he was a good decade older at least, if not more, he was kind, compassionate, and very considerate of your wants and your needs. You were sent to a, I think you were sent to Germany, from what I'm feeling here, and it was a prince that would be a king at some point in time, and he was just so grateful that you know you tried so hard that actually the two of you fell in love, and you had a wonderful marriage, and I think you had at least 7 children. But to this lifetime, you bring from that one that sometimes when you're forced into things, it's for the best, and that if you have no alternative and you have to go through certain circumstances, that there's always something very positive there. And if you have an open heart and an open mind, that not only you will learn to accept, but you will learn to love. And I feel also that's an aspect that comes into this lifetime. Sometimes, and I'm not saying you're being forced into marriage because that's not the case, but it does feel as though there are things this lifetime where you find that, you know, you feel that your back is to the wall and you have to do things that, you know, you really didn't want to. It wasn't on your bucket list. And yet you will find that they turn into probably the best things that could possibly have happened to you. And even though you would not have chosen them, society, reality, and the universe has made it imperative that you do this. And you find that the universe really does, very now and then, it really does know what it's talking about. If I take you back one more, I want to take you to India, and here again, you were a young boy, and you were in the royal household. The royal household was huge, by the way. There were hundreds of children, but you were the favorite, and you were the first. And you took your studies because you were told you had to study, you had to become educated enough so that you would be able to run the empire that was there at that time. And you were very studious, and you were very committed to fulfilling your role. And when your father did die, you found that a lot of his philosophies were antiquated, and you were very in favor of taking care of the people. You were much loved by everyone, you know, around you, and you opened the door for a time of prosperity and peace and almost a renaissance. And in this lifetime, you do the same thing. You really are looking to open people's hearts, eyes, and souls, and you're doing a magnificent job, and you're doing it without standing on a platform or standing on a soapbox. You have a great deal of majesty within you, and because of that, you are given respect even when you have not yet earned it, but when you're given the opportunity, you earn it in spades. So you are making a difference. You are changing not only your own life, but the lives of lots of other people too. So I have to tell you, the other side is absolutely applauding you. And even though you have struggled from time to time, and even though you've fallen on your face, so it's no big deal. You fell forward. James, what are you getting?
Wow. Thank you.
Could you say your name one more time?
It's Kathy.
You're phenomenally overly generous, and you have extraordinary healing ability, and you are clairvoyant, clairsentient. You're just a beautiful, healing, teaching, enlightening, instructing, open-hearted soul. And don't let... there are some forces around you. You know, they're equals, or they're stupid administrators, or they're bosses, or something. I don't know what they are. Okay, they're pretty narrow, and they're pretty limited, and they're pretty intellectually and emotionally congested. The high guy, you know, they're not the brightest light on the block. So in terms of people, in terms of psychology, they are not. You're the exact opposite, and you've been in this situation very much as what Barbara has just said many times, not just in this life, but over the past 5,000 years and longer. You've been in this situation where you are in a middle position, a lower position, or and those above you are clueless and mentally blocked and egotistical and of narrow vision. Your humor, what Spirit tells me, is a great weapon and a great tool. It is a great arrow that loosens everybody up, that distracts people, and because you have, as Spirit just said, you know, these great healing gifts, by loosening people up, it gets them out of their minds and out of their mindsets. They also want to tell me to tell you to open your third eye more, because you got this brilliant intelligence and you have this extraordinary energy of intuition, of knowledge, of enlightenment, and humor. Don't let these forces in front of you that are blocking, that are narrow, keep everything open, and just keep these energies that sometimes can limit you. Energetically, keep them at a distance. Be yourself. You have the power to melt them. And you also have the power, through your great sense of humor, to distract them so you can be who you are and get what you need to get done, to get it done. You used to be a comedian in the Middle Ages. You used to be a court jester. You have, and it's very spiritually connected, just as Barbara said. And you could make large groups of tortured children laugh and heal them in the Middle Ages. You would be called into meetings of Parliament or the Great Council in the Middle Ages. And maybe this is around the time in France that Barbara was talking about, but this is another life. You would be called in to break a debate in a meeting as a jester. Because you have this brilliantly bizarre humor that cuts the ice and that gets people over themselves and out of themselves. You've got that wisdom, and you know this, but they're just telling me to tell you again as a reminder. Don't let anybody, you know, tell you what to think or do. Your heart is great. Your generosity is from God. Just keep going. On Earth, though, it's very chaotic right now. Declare yourself a bit more on Earth. Ground yourself, you know, because you're so loving and giving. You know, what you can claim things that are yours, like, that's my place in line, or this is my time, I need to be doing this with it. It's just a little reminder, because you're a great gifted soul and an extraordinary peacemaker. And the picture I got from you, besides these great abilities of humor and counseling and communication, was I got a base football. It's football. It's football and soccer in the autumn. Wide fields, beautiful trees, and games going on. As the season changes, you did work with children. You've worked with young people in your past lives. But as the season changes and you appreciate the beauty, you will be light about it. I think there's going to be more younger people that you advise and that you set straight, because, you know, you're very gifted with the wisdom of Spirit. So many blessings to you.
Thank you. How do I open the third eye more?
Don't take anyone so seriously, especially this boss.
Oh, yeah. He's awful, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, because that's what's kind of blocked the greatness of the intellect getting out, because he can come down and kind of close things off. And so put up a barrier, I don't know, 3 yards in front of you, that as he comes down on it, he just stays over there 3 yards away, so you can open you're envisioning things beautifully, so you can open it even more. You're in your own bubble. You're in your own protective bubble when dealing with this boss.
He is very egotistic. Oh, my God.
That's what Spirit told me. They told me, yeah.
Yeah.
And but you don't take him seriously, which is wonderful.
Yeah, not anymore. Mm-mm. Okay, it's a great reading. Thank you so much.
You're
God
welcome.
Bless
you. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Okie dokie, moving on. We've got Susan here. Hi, Susan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Great. Okay, I'm going to give you what I'm getting, and then James will give you what he's getting, okay?
Sure.
I'm feeling an arena. It feels here as though you have. I feel you almost feel sometimes that you're in an arena. And arenas are used for lots of different things. Sometimes they were used for for shows, for productions. Sometimes arenas are used for conferences. Sometimes they were used for combat. Sometimes the arenas have many different uses. And I'm feeling that over the last couple of years, especially, you have felt that you have almost been thrown to the lions, so to speak. That you've been put in positions where people were watching you. And not for wrong, bad reasons or anything like this, please don't get paranoid, but where people were paying attention to what you were doing and how you were doing it. So in many ways, you have always felt as though the spotlight was on you, that people were watching, and sometimes you didn't understand why. I do feel that that's appropriate. I do feel that not only are people paying attention to you, but I think spirit is as well. And it feels to me as though you've been through a period of time where it's almost as though you've proven yourself and spirit is beginning to kind of turn around and do some reward, some karmic reward coming your way. You're going to find that this element of being in an arena is something that's going to continue for probably at least 6 or 7 months yet, and then things will kind of mellow out for you. You are on. There's no doubt about it. But you're being watched by people who appreciate what you're doing, not by people who are trying to in any way sabotage you, because that's not the case at all. I do feel the other side is watching you as well, and I'm not talking necessarily about your the people who are close to you, like family and friends and stuff like that. I think that the watchers are there, and the watchers are those spirits that are basically around to help guide those who really have a greater element or degree of wealth of information to share with humanity. And I believe you're one of those. And I think that sometimes you wonder if you really should be doing the work you're doing, and sometimes you just thrive on what you're doing. I feel strongly that there you have inside of you that ability, that not that ability, you have within you the knowingness that there's a purpose, there is a reason for your being here, as there is for everyone, but you feel as though that there was an extra added burden there, and there is. There absolutely is. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice yourself or become a martyr or anything like that. It just means that because of the awareness you carry within, not all of which you are acknowledging or using yet, but you will, it will be, you'll have the ability to share insight and wisdom to levels that you can't do right at the moment. And there will always be a point in time where you keep checking yourself. James and I check ourselves all the time, you know. Is this from spirit, or is this my ego? Is this from spirit, or is this my ego? You've had lifetimes where the ego took over and it was quite a ride. That is not going to be the case this lifetime. Your ego will stay in check. But your ego has run away with you and taken you on some pretty fancy rides in the past where you felt that not only did you know it all, but you were entitled. And there were a couple of lifetimes where you kind of got carried away. If I go back to Rome, you were there during the time of Nero. And you were a member of the court, and you got swept into the enthusiasm and the excesses that Nero did invest into Rome. You got swept away by it, even when you knew stuff wasn't right. You took part and participated. Are you familiar with that particular time in Rome, by the way?
No. Well, a little bit.
Okay. Well,
I know it.
I know you know it. I would Google it. It was a time of extreme excess. It was a time where, money could buy everything, and it did. And it didn't matter whether it was right or wrong. It just, you know, if I want it, I can have it, and I will. And, you know, you all can just, you know, whistle in the wind. Anyhow, you were a member of the court then, and part of the reason that you went along with it, even though some of the things you knew were wrong, was because you feared for your life. And the lesson with this one is that this, and I would Google Nero and his time there, just to get an idea as to what I'm talking about. I'm talking about extreme excesses. I'm talking about taking liberties where they were just morally improper. And I'm not saying that you were a horrible person. I'm saying that you were caught in a place and you did what you needed to do to survive. However, that's not going to be the case this lifetime. So that when you feel that you are being challenged and that you feel that you have to go along with things that are not to your taste, and I'm not talking about breaking laws or anything like that. It just feels as though you're going to be asked within the next year to take part in things that you just don't feel right about. And this lesson comes from this past life, that it won't cost you your life, nor your job, nor your security to stand up for what you believe in. If I take you back even further, excuse me, I want to take you to China to the time of the first emperor. And again, here is an example of extreme power, sometimes being used for extreme good and sometimes being used for just the whim of the moment. And this goes back, you know, thousands and thousands of years, and you were a member of that court as well. And you often questioned the emperor, but never did it out loud because you knew that if you questioned the emperor, you would be killed. And again, you come to this lifetime where it's appropriate to question. It's okay to question. It feels like you're going to be put in situations where questions are appropriate. And you have that kind of energy within you that you just want to keep the peace and you just want to keep everything even keel. And sometimes you let things go and you don't say what you think and feel where it would be very appropriate and would maybe help other people from making some mistakes as well. So it's really important for you to speak up, to speak your mind, to be true to yourself, and to follow your own inner truths. I want to give you another lifetime here. I want to take you back to what is now Siam. And this was a lifetime where you did have great power, and you did use it appropriately. You haven't always, you know, been screwed by great power, but it feels like it's something similar like that is coming up. But in that particular lifetime where Siam is now, I don't think it was called Siam now. I'm going back about 3,000 years. You were in power. You were one of the noblemen there. You were a noble woman. You were married to a nobleman, and he died. And this is cool. It wasn't cool at the time. Your husband died, and at that time, at that culture, a woman could not be in power. So he died quietly in his sleep one night. So you buried his body, and you just took messages, and you sent the messages back, you know, from him, and you carried on that facade for 10 solid years. And, you know, he was given awards. You just explained that he was either ill or that he was unable to, you know, attend whatever. And they respected your husband at that time so greatly that it was all right. That they said, okay, well, just, you know, let us know what he feels. Let us know what he thinks. And you became him in many ways. You channeled him, and you kept the facade up for a good decade. And when it was finally found out, and they finally realized when he had passed, not that they continued to consult with you because you were a woman and you knew nothing, but they did not take. They were not angry with you. They did not punish you. You had a stipend from the emperor, and you lived very comfortably for a very long time. But you have to understand that being who you are and utilizing the richness and the wisdom and the talent and the skill that you carry within is going to put you under the microscope from time to time, and that's okay. Because so long as you're honest and truthful with yourself, nobody will be able to ever find anything wrong with anything you say or do. James, what are you getting?
Could you speak, please? Just give me a sentence and your name, please.
My name is Suzanne. It's nice outside.
Oh, good. Thank you. Spirit really loves your playfulness. You have a real lighthearted, playful, unusual way about you. When you're very intimate, when your natural demeanor, the ancientness of your soul, you have a very dainty, playful, fun-loving, eccentric and utterly exotic, delightful, touching, and fascinating way about you. You Barbara's past lives are so revelatory for you, but there is also a life where it's sort of, I don't know, it's similar to Scheherazade. You're not in the Arabic Empire or anything like that, but you are in India. I'm going to say India, but I think you're under the Mughal rule coming down from Mongolia. You've got a life, but the whole thing about this playfulness and this ability to chat and tell stories and to talk and to gossip and to thrill people with all that, you would do that as a seamstress. You were a seamstress, spinning silk, satin, brocades in the Mughal Empire, where silk was highly, highly, highly touted and regarded and a great priceless commodity of trading. You dyed, colored, wove silk as well as designed. But what you did is you talked, told stories, and people came to you for to feel better about themselves, for entertainment. The other thing that came out with Barbara's, what I get from you is you've got this amazing communication ability and this great sensitivity to other people. You're not always grounded in your past lives, as Barbara said. And what I get from that is you did start on this planet because you have a way of getting out of tight situations. You have a way through your very fine instincts and your wit and your humor and your delightful mode of expression, you have a way of slipping out of tight moments, of serious moments, of demanding situations that you don't need to be a part of. So you have a very remarkable self-healing and ability to save yourself in tight situations. Trust it, Spirit wants to say. And the reason you're like this is the picture I get from my high guides. It's, you know, similar to what Barbara's been talking about, but you were a fish. You're a very brilliant fish, and I'm talking about, I don't know, 3 million years ago, you know, in the beginning of the planet, you've been here. But you were a very sensitive and enlightened, flexible, intelligent, brilliant fish. And you did from then become princesses, become designers, become communicators, become storytellers. But you've got this ability that when the situation around you requires you to pull up your grounding, you can do it, trusting your instincts, your intuition, and your very integrated energy of your third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth eyes and your heart and your throat chakra. You're very integrated. Because I think you were a talking fish. You were one of those, like, mythological ancient creatures. So you have this ability to pull up your roots and sail forward and land successfully. Now and then you're not particularly well-grounded. That's okay. Your heart and your great intuition and your great wisdom will always serve you. But you've got this ability to escape. I think in the court of Nero, which I knew very well, you were one of the few that didn't get murdered, that didn't get hypocritically accused of anything. You know how to get around all of that. But I think it's important, along with Barbara's past life, you're in the court of Nero, look up Suetonius and look up Seneca. Because you talked, they wrote, and there was espionage, spying, murder, incriminations going on every day, but you were with them, and you could, they were writing plays, and they were writing sex novels and fun things underneath Nero, so he didn't know about it, and you were talking and embroidering and telling stories. Everyone was doing this to lighten the atmosphere, because there was a huge atmosphere of paranoia, and you're brilliant with that. You know, what Spirit is telling me is you should be keeping a blog. Would be just wonderful, because you are a natural storyteller, and you have this ability to write and talk through your subconscious, not planning or knowing what's coming out, and it is for the benefit of all. You have a lot of wonderful abilities that will protect you as you go forth this year. This is an amazing year for you, but I still see you swimming around. In other words, you will be changing. There'll be different changes for you this year, but your great intuition and your great creativity will always protect you along with your intellect.
All right, well, that's good to know.
Okay, well, thanks so much for calling in now.
Oh, and thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, on with the history lesson. It's amazing how much history gets woven into all of this stuff, so.
Yep, it's great. I didn't expect it, but, you know, I was going into what you were saying, and all of a sudden, okay, I'm getting this picture, I better not deny it, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm always amazed at what comes out, to be honest with you. So that it's kind of exciting to, you know, you just wonder where the next one's going to take you. We've got Kat. I've got Hannah here. Hi, Hannah. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Okay. So I am going to give you what I get, and then James will give you. Well, no, I'll let James go first. Go first this time, James, okay?
Okay. Hannah, could you just give me a sentence for vocal vibration and just tell me your name again, please?
Yes, my name's Hannah, and I live here in California.
Okay, I'm going to go with a past life first. What I'm getting from your vibration is, and what Spirit is showing me is, you have several many lives in the British Isles and in the north of France through the very Celtic age of Stonehenge up to the more contemporary ages of the Middle Ages. And you were you have a lot of pure innocence about you. You have celebratory gifts. In other words, you were very big in Celtic, in Wiccan practice, in your ancient lives of May Day, the coming of spring, the celebration of the May Day rituals. You have abilities with horticulture, appreciation of flowers, plants, trees, plant medicine. Some of this is from Wicca. Some of this is from even older practices. You have this ability to create your own projects in this life from that. Being a bit of an herbalist, a horticulturalist, and a person that celebrates, there is in your soul and in you a great reverence and joy for the celebration of ritual, the execution of ritual, and the celebration of holidays through ritual. That it really opens your heart, strengthens your energy, and you contribute very markedly to any ritual or celebration that you are in, because you have been doing it for easily 5,000 years or more. There is a real daintiness and innocence in you one life you were a member of a royal family, of a duchy, I'm going to say Luxembourg, Switzerland, this is 18th century, 19th century, and you were locked up. You were a very beautiful, innocent, dainty member of a family. That was locked up, that wasn't, there was the Duke, your father or your family was very hard on you in terms of marrying and very judgmental and very categorical. And what it did is it locked you away from what you truly love, which is nature and celebration and people and animals and plants, and you did ascend into spirit without fulfilling yourself. And the lesson there is you have this remarkable ability. It is very dainty. It is very delicate. It is very thin to create, to concoct and to engage people, to create and to concoct, whether it is medicine, whether it is flowers, whether it's with animals, whether it's with artistic projects. You have a lot of artistic ability in different directions. So what Spirit is telling me to tell you is don't deny yourself. If it has to do with drawing, writing, thinking, painting, horticulture, gardening, music, creativity, don't deny your creativity at this point in your life. You have so much beauty to share. And you also have a very unique sense of style in terms of how you see the world, how you present yourself. You don't think of any of these things. You're not aware of any of these things. But this is the journey of your soul in this life. You've brought it all with you. So the big message Spirit is telling me to tell you is don't be timid with your ideas and with your visions and with your feelings. Don't be timid. Do your protection, but don't be timid. Put them out there. Stand your ground more. It will pay off. This is going to be a really good year for you. God bless you.
Okay. And Hannah, I want to pick up on just something that James had said. I feel strong creative energy here. It's almost as though sometimes you get caught up in dreams and things like that, and it feels like you actually even, you know, go back in to change the ending of a dream or something. And it's you have the capacity to do that. You're very powerful as far as your spiritual energy goes, and you have the capacity. Not many people will go back in and say, I didn't like the way that dream came out. I could go back and fix it and make it better. And you certainly have the capacity to do that. You have the creative energy inside of you. It is just so profound. And as James was talking, I felt the soul, the spirit of two things, the soul and the spirit of a poet and the soul and the spirit of a painter. And I'm seeing oil paints. I want to go back to the time of Michelangelo where they made their own paints, where they blended their own paints, where they ground all of the metals and all of the stones and things like that, and they created their own paints. They all had their own formulas, and you have that kind of an energy here. It feels as though you worked with one of the masters, and it was I think from what I'm feeling here and from what I'm seeing as far as canvases that were all around you, it appears to be the style of El Greco. So that I do think that you worked with, and if you're not familiar with his paintings, most of his figures were very, very slender and very, very tall. They were almost elongated, and as opposed to Michelangelo's, whose figures were more Rubenesque. Anyhow, I'm feeling the bright colors. That I'm feeling, you know, huge patches of bright colors here, and that you have worked with colors in many different ways. Whether it was in painting, as in oil painting, and I do feel that you had several lifetimes in which you painted in oil or a reasonable facsimile thereof, and that your paintings. Some of them still exist to this day. The poetry that goes along with it, it feels as though when you are involved in a creative project of any sort, and it certainly was the case back where in the time frame I'm looking at, you basically almost blend in with the art form that you're doing. With painting, you flowed with the paint. You knew sometimes you didn't even look to see what color you were utilizing. You just knew it would be the right color, and it always was. And you felt the color, you felt it go on the canvas, you felt it take a shape and create an entity almost on the canvas, and you poured energy into it. So your paintings always had a part of your spirit in it, always had a part of your energy, and it was amazing how intense that some of your paintings were. If I take you back further in time, I want to go back to maybe the 900s. In this particular time frame, you were again drawn by the bright, vibrant colors, but you were working with gemstones. You were working with rubies and diamonds and emeralds and oh my! And you were a meticulous, very, very, very artful jewelry. You created jewelry for monarchs and for the very, very rich. You couldn't afford the jewels that you created, but their creation kept you in a very comfortable lifestyle for your entire life. You saw or you felt a stone, and you knew exactly what it should look like and what kind of setting it should have. You have that same kind of quality and capacity this lifetime. You know, when you're trying to do something, you basically flow your energy into the project and then wait and see what comes forward in your consciousness. And I'm not sure that you even know you're doing it, but if, for instance, if you were going to do a garden, you would say, okay, if I created a garden, what would my garden look like? And if you shut your eyes and you wait long enough, you'll see the garden that you can create and that you will create. And that as you get into a creative process, often the project, whether it's doing sun catchers out of melting beads, whether it's artwork, whether it is photography, whatever form of art or creative expression you choose to involve yourself in, if you just let spirit put its energy into it, you cannot fail. Whatever you create will not only be beautiful and vibrantly alive, it will be treasured by whoever gets it because they will feel the feeling in whatever it is you have created. Now, this even goes into children, though I think it's a little different. But if you've had children, then you know that you thought about them as you were pregnant and you poured your hopes, wishes, and dreams into them. And for the most part, most of what you have seeded the energy with will eventually grow and manifest. Sometimes it takes longer with others, though, but it's definitely there. I want you to really be very cognizant of the power and the possibility and the potentiality you have for this. You can do this even with food. You know, I have this. I want to create something that is enticing for everybody else. And if you put your energy into it, and that's what I think that one of the biggest challenges for this lifetime is to, it appears that you sometimes don't know that you really have this capacity, so you doubt yourself. And the more you are sure and secure within your own energy field that you can do anything you set your heart to, with minor exceptions, you can energetically create something that is beyond everyone's expectation, whether it's food, whether it's children, whether it's an art project or a creative project or a writing project. There's also that element of poetry here where I definitely want to encourage you greatly not to think about it, but to allow it to happen. You think an awful lot. You think so much, sometimes you stop the creative process right in it, you know, right in its, before it can start. And when you learn to accept and to know and embrace the talents, the gifts, and the amazing stuff you've got inside, that's when real magic will start in your life, and it feels like you're right close to that. It feels like, you know, we're right, I would say around the first of the year, you're gonna move to a new stage, a new level, a new element of expression of the creative process, and you're gonna amaze yourself. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're so welcome. Okay, take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okie doke. James, you're next on cue. Okay, we've got Dawn here. Hi, Dawn. How's it going today?
Oh, it's going well.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm going to give you what I'm getting, and then I'll turn you over to James. I'm seeing, this is so cute. I'm seeing lots and lots of bunny rabbits. And I mean, there is an island in Japan that the rabbits run rampant, and they literally, you know, form rabbit gangs. They will follow people down the street. They are just so profoundly there. And I'm feeling you in a place, and they are significant to me, of warm, fuzzy feelings. I guess I should just let you know what that means to me. It feels as though you're in a place where warm and fuzzy feelings are coming into your life more and more and more. And there was a time when warm and fuzzy wasn't as present there as you would have liked. But it feels to me as though the universe is kind of done with sending you difficult challenges, and it's going to be sending you easier and easier challenges as the years go on. And it really is a time for warm and fuzzy. It's almost as though you've passed a certain age and I don't know what that age is, but you've passed a certain age where the challenges are going to be, sometimes they are harsh only because we have made them harsh because we didn't listen the first five times the lesson came our way. And what I'm feeling here is that in past lives, you have served Spirit well, and you've done it without question for a certain period of time within your life, and then you didn't sit back and do nothing, but then magic started to happen in your life. And by magic, I mean you started to receive the karma from past lifetimes, from good deeds that you've done, and not just in past lifetimes, but from this lifetime as well, because you are a giver. You are somebody who gives unconditionally to a lot of people, and it's not always recognized and appreciated, but you do it anyway, and that's what unconditional is. But it does trigger a response, and you're fortunate because this lifetime the warm fuzzies are coming your way, whether it's kind words from stranger, whether it's gifts from sources that you don't anticipate, whether it is finding that your life is changing and you didn't even know it was changing, and you know, things are flowing more easily for you. I find you coming into a time in which the white rapids of emotion are sort of giving way to a slow meandering stream, so that the emotions are going to flow with the current from probably the first of the year onwards, and you're not going to try to be paddling upstream against the current any longer. That doesn't mean that you're giving up. It means you're being more intelligent about everything and you're going with the flow, because that's where the Spirit wants you to go. I'm feeling a lot of Spirit energy around you, and so I feel that on your mother's side there is a grandmother Spirit here. If it's not grandmother, it's great-grandmother. It's somebody that was in your life at some point in time and had impact on your life. She's around you now because it feels as though you're going through a time of transition, and it feels as though you've been looking at old pictures of late, and you've come across several of her. And basically, she wants you to know that you've done very, very well, that you've not only fulfilled, but you've exceeded everyone's expectation, and you continue to surprise the spirits on the other side with the kindness, generosity, love, and light and laughter that you do share with people. I'm feeling also there's a man here in spirit on your father's side, and he feels as though he passed from a heart condition of some sort. And he's a very quiet man. It feels he's a man that did not speak a lot, of slender build, not skinny, but slender. And it feels like I'm seeing his knuckles being red. It feels as though he worked outside a lot, and that he did work in weather that was cold from time to time. He's a very gentle spirit. He feels grandfatherish to me, and he just wants you to know that you have absolutely you fulfilled all the promises you made to yourself. You beat yourself up every now and then, and he wants you to know that you should stop beating yourself up. You should allow people to let you know how magical and wonderful and full of love you are, and that you are appreciated. And the times that you don't feel that you're appreciated is just because you're not paying attention to the subtleties the universe is sending you. And very often the universe sends you amazing messages, but it's sort of like you expected to hear from another direction, so you're ignoring what's coming at you from the appropriate direction. So be open to what the universe is kind of putting on the table for you, and understand that these spirits on the other side are just so excited for you about the changes that are coming and about the accomplishments that you've already made. James, what are you getting?
Could you please say your name and speak a sentence, please?
Dawn, life is very beautiful.
You have a real talent with children, with infants, with younger people. You have great talent on healing, helping, directing, uplifting, advising, teaching, steering those who are just opening themselves to wisdom, just opening themselves to awareness, just opening themselves to being more alert. You have this, and when you do this, when you are speaking, counseling, creating, and creating and leading people in a direction or putting your ideas out, you have great self-confidence. There's great self-confidence in you, and your heart really opens. Don't get muddied up, or entangled in thoughts that are doubtful, or thoughts that other people have put in your head about, and you don't, but it still happens a bit. And I think this is what Barbara said about the past life and situations when you beat yourself up or other people have beaten you up. Get that out of your brain. Get that out of your brain, because it's not you. It is just the jealousy of others. It is the judgmentalism of others, all of the behaviors that are of lower energies of the earth. And you're not like that. I mean, you are a very sensitive, giving, forceful, open-hearted leader of people that through teaching increases awareness, or through communicating and guiding. So keep your if your heart tells you to do something, if your solar plexus tells you to do something, go and do it. And don't let the doubt demons or the cobwebs in your brain affect you. There is a very smooth, open year going to happen ahead of you. This year you're supposed to heal some tension that's in your consciousness, that is in your feelings, in your energy, some tension from your past in this life and past lives about worry, about anxiety, about not having felt that you've done enough, or that you didn't do the right thing, or that the big message they want to tell you is you're more flexible emotionally, psychologically, intellectually, and physically. You're more flexible than you think you are. Flexible meaning in terms of you can adapt. New jobs will be there, new opportunities, new people will be there, new places will be there for you. You have that ability to attract and adapt. And so don't let the tensions in, or just get present in them and eradicate them. You're more powerful than you think you are. And you have a lot of crystals coming out of your heart, a lot of real pieces of light. So whether you're speaking, talking to people, helping them, teaching them, administering to them, God is really blessing you with goodness. And just keep in mind, the earth is an illusion, and where you see yourself and the job you see yourself in is not as important as what you are truly emotionally, spiritually, psychologically doing, because you're a great leader, teacher, helper. And more wisdom, you'll be surprised at the wisdom that's going to be visited on you because you're open and ready for it this year. So God bless you with your great gifts. Lots of love to you.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for calling.
Okay, you all have a good one.
You too. Okay, so we've got a switchboard that is not cooperating. Well, that's all right. Definitely not cooperating. Okay, I've got Leslie here. Hi, Leslie. How are you doing today?
Good.
Hi, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. I just heard my switchboard is, I almost want to say it's possessed, but I know that's not the right way to say it. So, electronically, I've got weird stuff happening on the switchboard. That's all. Okay, I'm going to give you what I'm getting, and then James is going to give you what he's getting.
Okay.
I'm I'm seeing fresh new plants coming up. I'm seeing the ground breaking. I'm seeing it. This is a time of springtime within your spirit, within your reality. And I know we're coming into fall. I got that, and I'm real happy about it. But with you, it feels like it's springtime. It feels like new thoughts are coming up here, new energies, new talents, new gifts. They're all beginning to sort of break ground, and you're finally beginning to understand that there is new growth and new development within you. And it feels like there's also a learning situation going on here. And I feel that from what I'm seeing, you are the kind of person that goes through cycles. That your spirit, your life, you know, every occurrences within your reality go through the cycle of the seasons, though they don't always mirror the seasons we're in. So for you, this is a time of spiritual springtime, a time in which a lot of work that you've done in different aspects and areas within you are beginning to manifest. You're beginning to see the results of your labor. You're beginning to see the results of the changes that you've made within your life. Now, it doesn't all happen at once, and it has to be nurtured, and it has to be, you know, gentled for a while. But you have some very, very strong new gifts that are coming into your reality that you're going to be able to utilize and manifest. I'm not seeing a magic wand or a magic carpet, but I am seeing greater sensitivity and comprehension as to the energies of other people. I am seeing a far greater empathetic talent and gift emerging here. I'm seeing a lot of healing energy here. There's a lot of green around you and within your reality, and energetically especially, so that healing on many different levels is going to be a focus for probably the next couple of decades. And if I take you back into past lives, I do find past lives in which you did hands-on healing, in which you worked with the holistic, the homeopathic, and you utilized what nature gave you to help to heal. You've done this I want to take you back, you know, almost 4,000 years. I want to take you back to where healing on all levels was an accepted thing. It wasn't something to be frightened of. It wasn't, you know, when you get into the Dark Ages and everything, you know, there were, you know, people who did holistic stuff were witches and, you know, that stuff. Your energy goes way far back, and it does feel as though there were times when you would just wander through the woods with children, because there seemed to always have been children around you, whether others or your own. It didn't make any difference. And you would teach, you know, which were the good mushrooms and which were the mushrooms that could kill you, and which were the plants that could be eaten, and which were the plants that could be made to, you know, create teas that would help people, you know, ease their breathing if they had a cold or something. You were someone who was constantly looking and learning, and I feel that's a quality that you have and that you're utilizing this lifetime especially, that you're questing for looking for answers in places where we have forgotten to look. And what you are is one of those storehouses of energy that remind us that there was a time there was a time in the evolution of our species where everything was of a natural element, that because everything was natural, there was far less disease and difficulty, and that a lot of the things that are befalling us as ailments this lifetime are really a result of our technology gone haywire. And so you have that element within you reminding you that there is so much of healing. There are so many healing qualities within the natural world that, and even, for instance, I don't know why this comes up, but I'll give it to you. For instance, usually something that is that always grows in the vicinity of poison ivy is the mustard plant, the wild mustard, and wild mustard is the cure for poison ivy. And so nature has always given us the cure if there was something that was harmful. And you know those cures. You know that there is an element of being able to heal something that is happening if we go back to the natural. I'm not saying you're going to become a fanatic because you don't, you're not a fanatical person, but I do feel that the energy of healing is so strongly within you, you're going to start to question a lot of what is going on within the world today, especially medicines. If there isn't already, there will be a kind of doubtingness about medications that are given to people because there are things that can cure that are of a more natural element. I'm seeing you going back to, if I take you back even further in time, you were able to utilize energy, and this is a lifetime, I'm drawn to the Himalayas, and this is a lifetime where you did hands-on healing, and you did not do it, you know, through a quote-unquote church or religious institution. You basically were a person that were called upon when something happened, like bones breaking or something like that, and you would be able to lay your hands on and facilitate healing. They didn't grow back naturally all at once, but you know, you could take away the pain, you could help the healing process, and you could help to accelerate the healing process with the energy in your hands. You have that talent and that gift now. It's just a matter of trusting it and allowing it to flow through you, and it does feel over the next couple of years you're going to use that talent, you're going to learn to use that gift to a far greater capacity than you dream about it. I just think that you think it's dreams, and I'm here to tell you it's not just dreams. There is a reality here with healing energy that is quite profound. Also, it feels as though I keep feeling my jaw, and it feels as though you have not spoken the words that should be spoken. You have often swallowed words that should be spoken, and thereby giving yourself stomach problems. So I am guided to tell you that it's important that you speak what you feel. Put it gently, but speak what you feel. And don't put it so gently people miss the point. I do that a lot. But it feels to me my jaw is sore, as though you have been clenching your teeth, trying not to speak. And it's really important that you speak. Now, you can speak your heart and your mind in a very gentle way so that people are not offended, but it's so important that you begin to speak your own inner truths, because they're important, they're valid, and they're very, very important for other people to hear. James, what are you getting?
Could you please give your name again and just speak a sentence?
Sure. It's Leslie, and I'm from Forest Lake, Minnesota.
To add to everything Barbara has said, you have several lives where you have past lives. You have enormous ability and creativity and visionary ability, constructive ability, in plants, in writing, in sewing, but there are several lives where you have been locked away as a great creator. You've either been in a dungeon, in a prison, or just held captive in a house as the one that has to do the housework, or the one that has to say yes to the energies that think that they're important and in power where they really are not, but you have been subjugated to these. So you have great visual abilities, you have great writing abilities, you have abilities with dogs, plants, animals, visual in terms of sewing, constructing, but they have been in several lifetimes, just as Barbara said, they've been locked away. They've been put in a controlled atmosphere, and this is your life to break out. This is your life to speak, to put your foot down, to open your heart, open your tantien, open your solar plexus, keep your mind open, do your protection with Archangel Michael, but say, I think it should be this way. Let us try this. Did you ever think of this? Let us visualize it or think about it happening like this, because you have a huge protective seal around you, and it's this year is the time for you to take that protective covering and put it 3 yards out in front of you. Realize you're protected, but this is your year to be expressive. This is your year to communicate. This is your year to say, I was thinking about this the other day, and I came out with this. I was ruminating about this the other day, and I had this dream, or I feel this should go this way. Wherever you are, whether it's with your family, with your friends, at work, wherever it happens to be, trust that you'll be protected, but you have enormous amounts of creativity and detail work with the imagination that you excel in, that because of several past lives, as Spirit just mentioned before, of being locked away and sealed up. And this is your life to put it out there. And be not afraid. Be daring. Do things that would shock yourself in terms of communicating, in terms of putting out an idea. You will be protected. Everything you have to offer is valuable and good and precious. It's just about putting it out there. This is echoing, of course, what Barbara said about that you clench your teeth because you don't speak. But it's also writing. It's writing, singing, painting, drawing, seeing, visually creating, and orally creating. Put it out there. Be not afraid. Archangel Michael is with you. And you're going to have a great year.
Great.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling, Leslie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, it is just, I really think that there are gremlins in the switchboard today. Okay, we've got Marie here. Hi, Marie. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Ah,
I'm
fabulous.
Good. How are you today? Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question.
No, we're not doing... No. We don't do questions.
Oh, okay.
We'll give you what we're getting, but we don't do questions, okay?
Okay.
James, you want to go first, and then I'll clean up afterwards.
Okay, Marie, I need to hear you more because your reception from wherever you're calling from is very muddy and murky on my phone, and I'm just not hearing you. So if you can give me your name and talk a few sentences, that would be really good.
Okay, yeah. My name is Marie, and I'm calling from Florida. And I hope that you are having an excellent day.
Okay. The first energies I'm getting is I think there's a man around you in spirit. And I don't know if when you knew him alive, he was heavy set. He's kind of a big man, kind of heavy set. In spirit, there is love in his heart. There is protection. He feels in a type of vibration that is fatherly, but it could be a loving uncle. It could be a grandfather. It could be a big brother. And he feels like he passed from diseases or malfunctions lower in his body. He makes himself known, and I don't know, he could have been just a close acquaintance from church or something. He has love for you. He wants to make himself known to you as a companion and as one who will help you with the loneliness, will help you with the confidence. He had a very loving heart. He says in his way, this is not his language, but he wasn't the brightest person when he was alive. He wasn't that bright. He wasn't that smart. But his heart, his love, his faith, his belief, his faith in his maker were good. And he's around you, and he says, open your heart. I will protect you. I will lead you to other angels, but he just wants to make himself known as he's a protector. Call him in. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid to call him in for protection to open yourself even more. Say your name one more time and give me a sentence one more time.
It's Marie, and I'm calling from South Florida.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
The reason he comes in and there's a woman behind him is They want you really to ground yourself and open your confidence out on Earth. You've been, I don't know if it's this life or in other lives, you've been a bit closed off by other forces. Do not take the forces, whether it is where you're living or where you're working, don't take them so seriously. We have to pay attention to them. But the universe and guides and angels want this to be your year of abundance. They want abundance for you, physical abundance that gives you health, that gives you money, that gives you food, that gives you friends, that gives you shelter, that gives you protection. I mean, and it is have the confidence to ask for what you need and want and speak for what you need and want. And do not pay attention to those that have judged you in the past, because they have. And they don't know what they're talking about. And it's not, none of their business. I'm sorry?
I say yes, yes.
So this makes sense to you, yes?
Yes, yeah, correctly. You're right on time, yes, yes.
So the most important thing is you do have these loving, loving spirits coming in. They feel close to you as relatives. And there are two women and there's this wonderful man. And call them in to give yourself the confidence to say, I need this, I want this, I deserve this, because you do. You have a beautiful, beautiful, you have beautiful generosity, beautiful healing energy, beautiful creativity. But on Earth, you have been so judged and swatted and beaten at psychologically and energetically, emotionally, that this is your year to say, nobody knew what they were talking about. This is who I am and this is what I want. Because you are a healer. You are someone who is very sensitive and beautiful with people, in caring for people, in helping people. And it's also about breathing out all the different thoughts in your head that were put in there by people as you were growing up, people that were older than you that we were supposed to respect, you know. Most of that is incorrect, because you're a very sensitive, beautiful, fragile, unique individual. So it's getting rid of the judgments put upon you out of your third eye, blow them out, ask Archangel Raphael to help you. White light will be there. And declare yourself on Earth. You're capable of much more than you think you are, but things will be easier the more you stand up to whatever it is. It's my bank account, or this is my salary, or this is my plot of land, or these are my clothes. Whatever it is, declare yourself, and no matter how small. And you have beautiful helpers in spirit that will be there for you. And this will be a revolutionary year for you. So many blessings. God bless you, Marie.
Yeah.
Okay, and I have, I keep hearing the eye of the tiger for you, and I keep hearing that you're a survivor. And when I look into past lives for you, I find lots and lots of times and places where you thought that you were at Pompeii, but you escaped Pompeii. You've been in a lot of situations and places where you thought that you weren't going to survive. It wasn't going to. It wasn't going to be, you weren't going to make it, and yet you did survive. There is certainly the aspect here of surviving, and it feels, and I don't feel that there is anything that is going to be horrendous that comes up here. I do feel that you have been through in past lives situations and times where you just couldn't, you know, it was so imminent that death was going to claim you, and yet you survived. And I think from what I'm feeling here, first of all, there was Pompeii. Second of all, there was the arena in Rome, and you literally you were one of the Christians that were thrown in, but you survived. And what happened was bodies were piled on top of you, and you didn't die. You survived. And Pompeii especially, I mean, let's face it, you came out a tad singed, but you survived. And I want to take you back even further. I want to take you to the time of I want to take you about 4,000 years ago to Rome. And there was a time frame where the Roman soldiers were coming through, and they were literally massacring everyone. And you were a young child, and they, again, had bodies by all night. So there are times that you get very claustrophobic and you don't know why. It's because you've been buried in other people's bodies a number of times, and yet because you were buried in them, you survived. There's something special about your spirit. Your spirit refuses to quit. Even though on an intellectual basis you may get depressed from time to time, I want to tell you that your spirit will survive anything. Now, I'm not talking nuclear holocaust or something like that, but I am telling you that your lifetime, every now and then, you think everything is, the world is falling apart and the sky is falling, and the sky is falling. There's a wonderful, wonderful tale. What would I call it? A teeny tiny little bitty chick was in the barnyard, and he was the smallest of all of them, and the big roosters were strutting around, and they looked, and here was this little itty bitty little chicken with his feet straight up in the air, and they said, what's happening? And you said, the sky is falling, and they said, do you really think you're going to be able to change the sky falling? And you responded, I do what I can do. And that's what you do. No matter what comes your way, no matter emotionally how you are challenged, you do what you do, and you do the best that you can do, and you do survive. Now, I really feel that the intensity of any challenges that you have come to you are definitely not, they are dissipating. The major challenges are over. Will you have minor challenges? Absolutely. But you do what you can do. Your spirit has always survived, and survived beautifully, and thrived. So do take on the challenges as they come your way, and realize that I'm not sure how, but I am going to make it through this, and I am going to survive, and I am going to thrive. And that's exactly what you have done. Lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, you've been challenged. You have survived, and then you thrived. And the thrive part is in direct proportion to the difficulty of the lesson. And you have done a beautiful, magnificent job, and you are going to thrive. And you're right on the edge of starting to thrive. So don't give up, okay?
Okay, yeah. Thank you so much. Now, the reading from you and the gentleman brought tears to my eyes because it's so true, and I want to thank you so much. Really.
You're so welcome.
Well, your spirit loves you. You have a lot of help coming to you from spirit to really keep you open and open you up, and you're very blessed by God and spirit. So lots of love to you.
Absolutely. Love you too, God. God bless you all. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Okay. Boy, I kept hearing The Eye of the Tiger. I just kept hearing it playing for her, and it was like, here's your song. Here's your song. You're going to make it. It's going to be okay. It's scary sometimes.
Yes.
It does get scary sometimes, but there is a balance between the garbage we go through and the rewards that we get. And it doesn't happen immediately. It comes in time, but it's something that does happen, and it's so important that everybody realize this. And she's one of those that has made a point to the universe any number of times, and she will again this time. Got time for one more. We've got Queen here. Hi, Queen. How are you?
Hi, Barbara D. How are you? I'm awesome. How are you?
Well, I am just so excited about life in general. It's really a cool time. A little weird here and there, but cool. Okay,
that's
so I'm gonna
cool.
I'm gonna give you what I get, and then James will jump in. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. I'm gonna mute you. So hang in there, and I'll let it rip here. Okay. There's a corona around you, and it feels as though there is energy leaking out of all places, all over the you're radiating the energy of the spirit within you, and most of the time, and that's basically our aura, but yours is exceedingly brilliant, exceedingly radiant at this particular point in time. It really feels as though in many ways there is a buildup of energy inside of you, and it feels as though you are stretching your wings. And you know, don't go flying, but you're stretching your wings. There is great, this is a time of transition, a time of change for you. It's almost as though you're coming out of your chrysalis, and it feels to me as though this is signaling it's a time for you to make to take a bigger look into the way you are manifesting your energy within your reality. I know you give and share to lots of people. I know you do a lot of things unconditionally, and I know you've started writing. But it feels to me as though your words are very, very important, and it feels as though there's a poetry of spirit here, and I would suggest that you play with poetry, and play is the operative word. Don't take it seriously, because if you do it, it doesn't work. But just let things flow from you, and try not to intellectualize things before you write them down on paper, because when you do that, you organize things, and when you organize things, you kind of cut off the creative channels. I want to take you into past lifetimes where you have been a philosopher, where you have been someone who has actually, you've been a philosopher, and if I take you back even further, you have been a scribe. And what I find fascinating is I want to take you back 2,000, 3,000 years, and you were a scribe. A lot of people were not literate during that time frame, and you were fortunate. You were trained. You were taught to write, and you did write. And so you made your living by writing things for people who had never taken the time to become literate. And what I find fascinating is you know, for the longest time, you actually did just write down exactly what they said as they said it. And you made a very good living, but you decided somewhere along your 30 or 35th year, you decided that you could improve upon it. And so you got the thought across, but you did it in your own words, and people were began to be acclaimed for their ability and their creative talent and the wise way in which they used words. And they didn't understand that it really was not their words; it was their thought, but it was not their words. They were your words, and in many places, you made a great number of people very, very famous for their wisdom and their ability to utilize the language and to paint pictures with their words. And I can count probably five different people that today are well known for their words and their wisdoms that weren't theirs at all. They were yours. You just kind of took a great deal of creative license with a lot of things people had to say, and your words are seared in time. People remember them. People repeat them. People pull them from memory and weave them into things that they do, so that every now and then you listen to something and you say, you know, I resonate so much with that. I wonder where it came from. It came from you. You have that ability to take a thought that is simple and perhaps so simple that people ignore it, and you weave it into something that is so profoundly beautiful that people remember it, whether it's the cadence or the rhythm, whether it's the music of the words, the song of the words, and the thought themselves. You have changed time. You have imprinted time in at least four or five different lifetimes that I can see as I go back in time. And I encourage you to continue to do this, but please don't think, because thinking absolutely limits greatly the profundity of what it is you have to share with you know, your fellow man. It feels as though the writing is going to be something, especially over the winter months between November and March, that there is a lot of new insight, new material coming out of you, and I would definitely spend time a little more consciously than you do at this moment in time. I know you've started writing, and it's wonderful. You've created an amazing opening for wisdom to come through, but give it a little more opportunity, because there is great stuff here that's going to come through. James, what are you getting?
Could you please say your name in a sentence, because I just need your vocal vibration, please.
Yes, I can, James. My name is Opulence, and it is my pleasure to have you enter into my arena again, my world. Thank you.
Yeah, everything Barbara said is true. You know, what guides show me is you're very sharp. You're very incisive. The way you write, the way you talk, and you got to trust the visions you get. Take off your head and put it in your heart. Trust the visions you get looking at the world and at people and at behavior through your heart. You have a really wonderful, razor-sharp, dynamic light coming out of you. And the more you practice seeing things and perceiving things through your heart, then your third eye and your eighth eye are especially going to open. And your crown chakra is going to open even more. You've had some lifetimes back, not sure, want to say 18th century, middle of the 19th century, as a university lecturer, university professor. One was revolutionarily as a young girl, but you gave lectures in universities, and you have lectured schools. And it's always about opening people up and cutting people open in terms of who they really are and what they really mean. You're very good at solving, negating, and decomposing duplicity and hypocrisy. You're very good at that. The more you write, the more you speak. You were a pamphleteer in past lives. I know Barbara has said all this, but you really have. I feel my heart bursting open with you. And I want to say, you know, the wisdom that comes out, you're going to feel energy in your hands. The third eye is going to open. Trust your dreams. Trust your visions. Trust your imagination. You are getting over those energies in the past, in this life and in other lives, that categorized you as crazy, that labeled you as crazy. Because as Barbara said, you know, you are a seer. And you are a type of prophet, and you've been a great intellect of wisdom. You've been a great communicator of wisdom. So keep going this year, and really put it out there. This is going to be a great year for you. And it's important for you to laugh at all of the naysayers and at all of the critics. Just detach, disconnect, and laugh at them. Because, you know, they don't know what they're talking about anyway. But congratulations on your great wisdom and intelligence. Keep a blog, open a blog. I'll read it. God bless you.
I'm going to hold you to that, James, and thank you both. My heart is getting light as a feather, and my blood will be in this energy. Thank you both so much.
Thanks for calling, Queen.
Lots of love to you. Love to you.
Okay. James, we did it again.
Yay.
Want to thank everybody for listening. Want to thank James especially for being here, because I so appreciate your sharing your time with us. And there's a show tomorrow night at midnight, Tuesday at midnight. We'll do the midnight show, and Rose is going to be the guest there. So that should be exciting. So please do tune into that one. And, James, I will see you soon, and hopefully we'll get our calendar straight, and hopefully I can talk you into staying up late and doing a midnight show with me someplace.
But we are on for October 20th at this time, right?
At this time now, 4 to 6?
Yes, on October 20th.
Yeah, I have you down. Yeah.
Oh, good. Just wanted to announce that if anyone was still listening, that's all.
Oh, yeah. No, there are people out there, I promise you.
Okay, well, so I look
forward
nice to doing
crowd.
This. You know, I love you, Barbara, and I love doing this with you, and we will do it again October 20th, and you're wonderful and amazing, and I'll see you soon.
Absolutely, James. Thanks again. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and to you, those of you that hung out, thank you so much. Those of you that didn't make it in, try again next time. Call in a little earlier. Other than that, bye, everybody. I'll see hopefully a lot of you tomorrow night, midnight Eastern time with Ann Rose. Bye-bye now.